I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. And we gon' show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I cannot get them on me. You can catch me in my coat.
Now you may ask, why the hell is Dell playing Hot Cheetos and Takis?
I don't ever ask that anymore.
Well, you said we're going to talk about the Rockets, and I feel like the Rockets fan base is a Hot Cheetos and is Hot Cheetos and Takis.
I think so.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying by that. I think so.
I feel like if you ask them, most of the Rocket fan base say, "Yeah, I'm down with some Hot Cheetos and Takis."
They got a little more flavor.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's true. So the Rockets win again in Utah. They've won their first two games in Utah. They're now at 3-1. And a lot different than what we were feeling after game two. They played great in game three. They didn't play great offensively in game four, but defensively they really went into lockdown mode. And Utah, and really they did it also in game three, to be honest with you. And Clint Capella has been a monster. On the ESPN, on the front page of ESPN, the article is Block Capella. Rocket center leads a defense that is silencing foes.
That's sweet. Block Capella.
Block Capella is, and he is really, like, he has been a big, big factor in this series already. His ability offensively, where if you don't play the pick and roll right, he's going to ruin you with lob dunks. Because Chris Paul, and maybe even James, I think James Harden is one of the greatest lob passers I've ever seen. All that dunks, where was Lob City? It was Portland, right?
No, that's the Clippers.
No, the Clippers, that's right, with Chris Paul. That was Lob City. I think this is even better. I think Chris Paul with James Harden, I mean...
Well, there's one guy here. In L.A., they had Blake and DeAndre.
And DeAndre. Yeah. And there's one guy who gets it. But Chris Paul is a dominant catch-and-dunk finisher. Or he can catch with his feet on the ground. He's got good hands, and he can maneuver around off the screen and roll. And that screen and roll is so... I mean... There's a lot of talk about three-pointers. There is no Houston Rockets if you don't have the screen and roll, because their screen and roll allows James Harden, A, easier access into the paint, and then B, he's got the counter where you've got the layup. He's not going to pull up. James is not a pull-up guy, so he's going to counter. He is going to either finish right or left-handed. He's a great finisher. He can get to the free throw lines. But that counter of being able to throw it up to a guy who's such a great athletic finisher – it does one of two things. It gives you great opportunities offensively, but it forces shot blockers, whoever is with Clint Capella, away from the basket and into a guard mode. And that's what teams used to do to Shaq years ago, and he had a lot of trouble against that. Well, now it's almost like let's get that guy away from the basket, and now we got a chance to get into the lane, because they really do like shooting free throws. I mean, layups as well as threes. I always call it freezing threes, because that's what they want, free throws and three-pointers. But Chris Paul...
He's ruining
them. They knew Chris Paul was good at mid-range jumpers. I can't believe how good Chris Paul is at that pull-up little fadeaway from 14 and 15. I mean, he's almost automatic when he pulls up from the free throw line, when he gets into the paint and then takes little step backs and then fades from the free throw line. It's almost automatic. But what happened? But the Jazz have changed how they're guarding the Rockets, and they're guarding out there at the three. So the Rockets shot 28 mid-range jumpers yesterday. 28 mid-range jumpers, which is, you don't see like six in a game.
Mm-mm.
And that is, and Mike D'Antoni even said in the post game, I'm going to see if I can get his comments.
Do you think Daryl Morey wants to trade Chris Paul now?
And he is being insubordinate, appears.
He despises Chris Paul?
I don't think. Harden said, all season Paul's been self-aware and often self-deprecating about one of the strengths of his games not exactly fitting his new team's core philosophy. Harden interjected, as you should, clearly not joking at all. He had a point to make. That's a layup for him, and it is. In game four, Jazz progressively tried to scout and eliminate Houston's driving kick actions, with the Rockets shooting it poorly. It was Paul's mid-range proficiency that paid off. 27 points on 12 of 23 shooting. Paul hit the Jazz with inefficient dagger after inefficient dagger. Analytics be damned. Sometimes you have to let a master of the mid-range work his craft, and that's dead on. Mike D'Antoni said, every rule has an exception. when you're that good at something, even the numbers guys are like, yeah, that works because the numbers are right. It's just normal. That wouldn't work. That's one of the reasons I'm sure the organization got Chris for a lot of different reasons, but that's definitely a bonus. So Daryl has mentioned this on the radio before. Chris Paul's, I think with us, Chris Paul's mid-range game, he doesn't mind that because he's efficient. It's all about maximizing your points per possession, but Chris Paul is so efficient in mid-range that he hits the numbers that they want. And so they don't care about him shooting mid-range because that's where he's good. And frankly, you know, it's if you put all your eggs in one basket, we're just going to go low to dream, low to dream, low to dream. Then when teams like Seattle roll up on you with double and triple teams, it becomes a problem. It's hard to beat teams like that. If you're just a three-point team, what happens when you go cold? So, I mean, you got to diversify that portfolio a little bit, and I think that's what the mid-range game. Like, I know the defense is helping them win at a high level this year, too. That's clearly more important than anything else going on, is the defense is really good this year. But the second most – I think one of the most important things, though, John, is that you got a guy who can go get – when it gets a little funky offensively, he can go get a 15-footer for you and stick it and stop a 9-0 run.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Hey, listen – forever, guys have been shooting mid-range jumpers. And how about Chris Broussard's tweet this weekend?
Oh, is this the tweet you want to get to?
No, there's two tweets. Okay. One of them was, Chris Broussard says, yeah, if you want to see mid-range, KD takes mid-range jumpers. So, you know, the Rockets don't take any. So if you want to watch how to play basketball, watch the Warriors. And it was like everybody just... I don't know if you know this, but Chris Paul takes mid-range. And, oh, by the way, is really good at mid-range. Everybody
really
piled on
him. Yeah, there's a philosophy. I don't know what Golden State's philosophy is. We know there's a philosophy here about the lack of mid-range. And like we just Lance just alluded to, there is one exception because he's so good at it. But I don't know if the Warriors have explicitly stated we don't like the mid-range. Now, they put KD in a post yesterday, and he dominated. And they showcase what they're calling their Hamptons lineup.
Yeah, why is it called Hampton?
Because
five?
It's all the guys who went out to convince KD in the Hamptons to come play for the Warriors.
Oh, is that where it came from?
Yeah.
And did you hear five? Steve Kerr saying, "I can't call him the Hampton Fives"?
But
you
does.
Guys can.
Yeah.
But he did.
Does.
He did. Yeah. But the one, and I'll get Chris Broussard's what he said, but it was so stupid. Everybody was just all over.
But that's not the tweet you were talking about?
No, that's not. Oh, my God, there's so many. I can't tell which Chris Broussard is the real one. How do you know which one's the...
There's so many fake Broussard
accounts. There's no blue check mark.
And let me tell you, Chris Broussard took a hit on the Dwight Howard to the Rockets where he kept trying to fade that and say there's a 50% chance he's going to the Lakers now. My sources are telling me. That was a hit he never came back from. And when Brian Windhorst became more boys with LeBron, with Team LeBron than Chris Broussard, it was over. Because ESPN said, what do we need you for, Broussard? We got Brian Windhorst.
Youngsters, notice that KD and the Warriors have not abandoned the mid-range jumper. Watch and learn from Golden State, not Houston. Okay, Chris Broussard, watch some Rockets basketball and see Chris Paul play.
Like I said, I don't know if there's one guy who shoots jumpers for the Rockets, so I won't crush him too much, and it just happens to be the guy they will only accept taking jumpers from is Chris Paul. I don't know if the Warriors take a lot of them. I know KD, because he usually has an advantage, he can get a shot at any point. Maybe that's his point, but yeah, in the age of the internet, there's no context. If you say something like that, and then the Rockets showcase a guy shooting mid-range jumpers, you're going to get killed.
Oh, you're going to get destroyed. But stop. Chris Paul has been taking mid-range jumpers his whole career.
He's the guy.
He's on the Rockets. Okay, Donovan Mitchell walking into the locker room after the Jazz Game 4 loss to Houston. If that's what he needs to win the MVP, so be it. What did he mean?
Wait, who said that?
Donovan Mitchell. He said, and I quote, he's screaming as he's walking in the locker room, if that's what he needs to win the MVP, so be it. What does that mean?
We'd have to ask Donovan Mitchell. I'm not sure.
I don't even have.
But I didn't understand. I guess obviously it's the free throws, maybe. Maybe that the refs were on the Rockets side.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Jazz, you're always complaining about
refs. Well,
did
you see that stat? That he has, over the last six years...
It's almost like 1,200 more free throws attempted.
No, it's 200 per year he attempts
more.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. The total is like about 1,200. Yeah.
More, 1,200 more than the next closest guy, and that's Russell Westbrook.
Badly. I did a show with the guy who always complained about the officials as a Rocket fan, and I'm like, how can you do... Honestly, how can you complain? If you're a Rocket fan at all, I don't see how you could ever complain about it. I know you don't like calls or whatever, but ultimately, James Harden is going to get to the free throw line a million times.
Did you see the fan that was doing the James Harden?
Yeah.
When James Harden's looking and he's got both hands, he's like, And the fan is standing there doing that. I was like, James, you're embarrassing. But by the way, the Rockets, and that's all they do. And Charles said it at halftime. He said, man, the Rockets, they got to stop with the refs, man.
I was, that thought crossed my mind.
As long as he said it about his boy Ginobili, then that's fine. Because Ginobili was the all-time worst.
Yeah, no, but the Rockets.
They're not Thundersticks.
Here we go, Thundersticks.
It is a bit Thundersticks.
Absolutely. You went to out of nowhere, Ginobili just sit here.
He's like, what happened?
and he does. Yeah, but I call them European hands. It's really Latin America. It's really international hands.
It's James hands now.
Where it used to be this with Tim Duncan where he had the ball and he goes, what? And Ginobili goes,
Thundersticks.
When did he become Jeff Aaron?
I don't know. I was thinking throughout. See,
no, they're not Italian. Neither of them are Italian.
I was thinking throughout the game. I didn't think they should stop complaining. But I was watching the reactions of Quinn Snyder versus Mike D'Antoni. I wasn't even considering the players because every player complains. Like. Every time there's a call that doesn't go the Rockets' way, D'Antoni
gets salty.
Yeah, I was looking. I don't think I've seen Quinn Snyder react at all.
No, yeah. Quinn Snyder does. He's too cool, except that one strand of hair that won't.
It's always out of place.
It's always been.
Yeah.
Always been. I think he gets it and puts the so curl? Much gel and hairspray in it, it can't move.
It's probably a cowlick.
The hair that's just off. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. There's that. There's so much more to talk about. Chris Paul's brother. Apparently, it is a raucous Jazz fan. He was kicked out of the game.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Apparently, Chris Paul, during the game, is trying to get his brother not kicked out of the game. That might be...
And the backstory is the referee used to referee Chris Paul's brother's games, and he's always had a problem with that guy. Apparently, that's the backstory.
Oh my God, that is so funny. All right, 713-780-3776, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. During the game, Chris Paul's brother, apparently a guy next to Chris Paul's brother, said a bad word about a referee. And the security guard comes up to Chris Paul's brother and says, hey, we need to talk to you in the back. And he said, for what? I told them I don't talk like that. So they pulled him out. And during the game, Mike D'Antoni and Chris Paul are both trying to get it... His brother not kicked out of the game.
Cussing at referees is a Utah Jazz fan thing.
That's what I said. Yeah. And I tweeted out, Jonathan Fagan said, it's Chris Paul's brother that's being escorted from the arena. And I said, well, he's a Jazz fan? That must be uncomfortable at Thanksgiving.
Oh, how did that happen in the family?
That is terrible. But apparently it was a mistaken identity. But he does know the referee.
Yeah.
So this referee was...
They've had interactions because apparently a C.J. Paul played college ball, and the referee was James Williams refereed some of his games, and he's had issues with
him. So James Williams is K.J.?
That's KJ's goal.
Now, maybe he would have recognized. Is there any chance that he would have recognized the voice of C.J. Paul then, the ref?
He might have. I don't know. C.J. Paul said Williams accused him of making inappropriate comments. He overheard Williams complaining to arena security, who then briefly removed C.J. Paul from his seat. This is from C.J. Paul. I know how he operates. I didn't see, he said, I didn't see him say nothing, but I know it was him. So apparently the referee didn't actually see CJ Paul say anything, but he told security, I know who said it though. So maybe he did recognize his voice.
Maybe he did, or maybe it was maybe the guy next to him sounds just like that caller sounded like Milo. Maybe the guy next to him sounded just like CJ Paul.
Maybe the jazz fan next to CJ Paul did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it could.
What, you think
except CJ Paul.
You think that's likely,
probably
John?
Sounds different than everyone else in that arena.
Well, everyone else who's not playing.
That's right.
Do you know that a Utah...
No, he sounds a lot like everybody who is playing, but not like anybody who's not playing.
Yes.
Utah Ute fan came to me. So all these jazz fans are so pissed that I put them all in one basket of being evil, which I had no problem with generalizing. And but there was this one guy yesterday. He has a Utah Ute avatar. He's like, look, our fan base has some issues, and they have for a long time. This has been a problem for a long time. He said, but I'm just going to tell you, they're BYU Jazz fans. He said, the BYU Jazz fans are the worst.
Yeah.
If you are a player of color, you will get called a thug. That's their go-to move. Like, he basically just laid, he's like, yes, we will take responsibility as Jazz fans, but I just want you to know it's the BYU side. So he was able to work some college, you know, some college hatred in there as well. There's nothing better than calling that the Holy War. Utah versus BYU, the nickname for the game is the Holy War. That's, and they really hate it. I'm like, they hate each other too. Utah and BYU is a little under the radar hatred. That's pretty good. So I told John this during the break, Dell. So when I was Belize, one of the guys who was there, who's from there, Oliver, who he was the guy as the captain of the ship, just really easygoing, friendly, nice, just. He made the trip, the whole trip, so unbelievable. And he's like, so I'm reading up on Philadelphia. And I don't know why. Maybe they're thinking about taking a trip there or something. And he goes, and I'm trying to understand the culture, why it's so cold there. And he said, not the weather, but just like, you know, how it's cold. And I knew what he was talking about, the fans. I mean, the people, not the fans, the people. And I realized from being in this little, you know, tropical weather and life is easier and there's not the anger there in that. Like, everyone's really friendly. The people around you are all very friendly. And I realized you can't really tell someone who comes from that area, Belize, for example, which was that area. You can't really try to explain jazz fan or, except he is married to a jazz fan, which was a huge underdog, or people from Philadelphia. You can't really explain it to somebody from Belize who's like, why? But what do they have to be angry about? Like, well, okay, so I know it never gets below 72 here, but it's really cold there for about 5 months. And then there's traffic and there's people honking at you. And then there's people who will just randomly cuss. And then dogs will, you know, can maybe crap in your yard and but not, and you know, somebody will just let a dog crap in your yard or on the sidewalk, you step in it, you gotta shovel snow, you got, you know, they stand a long line for sausage and for you know, cheesesteak with
And they're also the second city in that state as far as sports and championships. Pittsburgh has always overshadowed Philly.
Well, but now I'm also realizing after talking today, here's something else somebody from Belize won't understand. Sports can make people angry. They can make you happy, but really they can bring a lot of sadness and anger into your life. Look at John the first hour about the bats and about not bringing up Tucker. You didn't sound like you're out on a boat somewhere having a good time, doing some snorkeling.
No.
You sounded like a guy who was really pissed off. You didn't sound like you were just hanging out in the nice. Your life got worse this weekend. I feel like your life got a little bit worse because of the Astros struggles.
Does Belize have a World Cup team?
No, same as us.
Well, they would never make a World Cup, but they have a team.
They had a semi-pro basketball because the owner of this restaurant or the
yeah, but they wouldn't care about that. They would care
all the fans go to this semi-pro game, but it's not like that's why nothing really makes them super upset.
No. But I would imagine their soccer team, if they were close to making the World Cup, that would be disappointing.
They don't have sports that makes them upset.
Kind of like when Jake Mariznick is up. You know what I'm saying? It makes you upset.
I don't know if there's a Belizean Jake Mariznick in soccer or there's like, oh yeah, he's the one. This is the that's the guy that's always he's got three own probably, goals this year.
Probably
like, oh no.
Isn't he more like a Belizean Tony Sipp?
It could be. It could be a Belize. There's look, about five Astros.
In Belize's history of World Cup qualifying, by the way, they declined to participate from 1930 to 1994. But since 1998, when they actually cared enough to try,
it's not good.
They have seven wins in World Cup qualifying history. So let's. They're not even. They're not the Astros. The Astros have thought about success and actually had success. They're more like. I don't know what they are as far as if I could compare it to a baseball team.
It's an independent league team.
Pretty, they're like the Skeeters, but the Skeeters win actually. The Skeeters have won before. I don't know what they are.
It's like because
I don't want to say it because
what?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Okay, don't say if John Granato says I'm not going to say something, then don't say it.
I don't think anything in sports really upsets Belize.
No,
and
that's why. But that's why there's like I don't understand why people are so cold and angry. In Philadelphia, and I had to tell them, I'm like, it's really all big cities people get like that. They only get angrier when in really cold areas like Chicago, New York, where it is cold for about five months. That's something they can't get away from.
It's an ugly people. Although I will say this, it's not so much like that in Minnesota. I think people just kill themselves in Minnesota. I think it's the highest.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, in Wisconsin, it's you know, they're nicer people.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, dear. Yeah, you want me to help you scrape? Yeah, I'll help you scrape the ice there.
Now,
yeah.
Belizeans also, I didn't see a lot of 300-pound Belizeans.
No, well, yeah. But I mean, they're happy as long as there's food and beer in front of them in Wisconsin. And there's plenty of food and beer still in the United States. So, now, Wisconsin's happy.
You know who comes to Belize? Here's who comes to Belize. Texans and Canadians. The Canadians have to live in Canada for more than 6 months to maintain their free health care. So a lot of them will come down to Belize and live for 5 months and then roll back for
that's
7 months.
Move.
It is a smart move. It's and a lot of Texans. So I ran into this guy, Ross. We were told Jill, who listens to our show, Jill Reese, who's a big Astros fan, she'll tweet at us sometimes. She said, oh, you're in Belize. Go see my friend Kristen. She moved there and opened a breakfast and lunch place. So we went to that place. We went in there, asked for said, are you Kristen? Yes. So we said, oh, Jill Reese. About 30 seconds later, her husband comes over with an Astros hat on. He goes, hey, Lance, I've listened to you and John since he goes, I know your wife, Nicole, got you and her got in fights about Chris Sims and Major Applewhite. I'm like, wow, you listened for a long time, man.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, I was listening on Friday when you did the show from here. I listen every day on the ESPN app. He said, I listen every day on the app to you guys, and I have for years and years. And I keep up with the Rockets. So we were talking about it.
We're big in Belize.
Oh, huge in Belize.
It's funny, they can hear us in Belize, but not Katie. 8:30 ESPN.
90. I mentioned to him, I said, there's an irony.
8:30 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
You're listening to ESPN 975. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Julie says Mitt Romney equals Drake from the lake. All right.
Because Mitt Romney's at the game.
Is Mitt Romney not the perfect celebrity jazz fan?
That's pretty dope.
I mean, honestly.
Well, yeah, of course. Who else? What other celebrity would be a jazz fan?
No, it has to be some politician. Yeah.
Hey, do you guys have a problem with getting text messages at when you know it's too late to text? Like, I've got my ringer on. I don't turn my ringer off because, you know, I could get a call from. I got a son who's in that range where I could be getting called to the police station.
That's unfortunate.
You know, like, hey, your son got arrested for something. Yeah. You know, I don't know. He's in that at range. I need to keep my ringer on because I'm always worried about having ringer off with your alarm on. I know it will still go off. I think I've been told that. But I'm just always worried it's not going to. So anyway, text message at 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning from somebody who, like,
yeah, my wife freaks out every time.
Oh, my God.
And it's my daughter.
Well, you two have had.
It's Frankie.
You two have children, so the text message in the middle of the night is a big deal. If it happens to me, it's like, whatever, I'll talk to you in the morning if I don't feel like it.
Right, you don't have any of those worries. No. Frankie is always texting, Mom, I'm drunk, coming home from the bar. What are you doing?
Oh, see, that's no good. I'm trying to sleep. No, you can't be texting
me. No, Frankie has no...
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm sleeping.
That's like 2 in the morning. It's like 7 o'clock at night for Frankie. So she's like, yeah, I just wanted to talk. Well, don't call it 2 in the morning.
She's calling?
No, she'll call or text or whatever. Or I had a bad night, Mom. What?
Yeah, a bad night.
Well, tell me tomorrow, you know, when you wake up at 3 in the afternoon.
Friends for that, to talk about the bad night?
No, she calls her mother.
Now, when you are on West Coast time, Pacific time, because I was there for a week, it is hard. It is trickier because if I wanted to text you guys and I'm looking at... And it's no big. It's 9 o'clock here. It's like, ew, man, it's 11 over there. That's, you know, 9 to 11 is a big difference.
Yeah, I'm up. I'll just ignore you.
You just ignore anyway. Yeah. So there's really no reason.
Well, you tweeted to
text
the group.
Anything even important?
What important are you texting me?
Yeah, but if
me?
I had something important, what, you would just ignore.
What
important things
you
text?
Boys, you would tweet them. That.
By the way, why did that name go away from? I can't find that in our.
Well, I still have it.
I still got it.
It depends because Raheel started a different one that included all of us for whatever reason. But F Boys is still there.
F Boys is still there. Okay. And you got to use that one. Did you guys see this woman in Austin that won $1.2 million?
Yeah, $1 million. She hit the five.
She hit the pick five. She picked all the last five races.
Mm-hmm.
How unbelievable with 9 to 1. You know what? Screw Fred Fowler's picks.
Oh, I thought you were a member of the Blitz. Oh, no, you're Team
no,
AJ.
No, you're a member of the Blitz.
I'm a member of the Blitz. You're Team AJ, though. That's different.
No. I'm Team Fred, too. But I'm going with this woman's picks, not Fred's.
Yeah.
Okay?
Although we have discussed this in the past. People who hit these things are usually just guessers. Or they're just, this is my best friend. This is one of the girls from my wine club. Yeah. And her name is Katie. And this is Katie's mugshot. And so I had Katie's mugshot. And it's just random picks for no reason.
And so what?
Same thing with lottery
winners. She won $1.2 million on an $18 bet.
Yeah, and Fred, do those random
picks. And Fred's
picks.
Out there running his analytics and grinding on his computer program.
And who always wins the NCAA tournament pool?
Random people.
Girls.
Or Lance.
Who don't know anything.
Or Lance when he uses
dumb
his
girls.
Or Lance when he uses his producer's picks and doesn't pay off.
That's true. Your grandma's
picks
were terrible.
I told Dale he's got lunch coming. I told him.
When is it coming?
Oh, yeah?
That's the thing, though.
It's the thing?
If you keep it like in the future, you're always going to be excited about it.
No. That's not how it works.
How about that Justify won $1.4 million and she won $1.2
million? Wow. Well, truth be told, her picking those is much greater. I mean, those are pretty tough odds. I feel like she should have won more than $1.2 million, frankly.
Well,
no, because lottery odds even.
They bought Justify for $500,000. She paid $18 for her ticket. $18.
Well, it looks like she's in a value. She's in a. Efficient. She's efficient.
How about that? That is unbelievable. I'm getting into horse racing
from
now on. I'm just going to quit and just go pick horses.
It's a good thing Daryl Morey has a very strong marriage to a good woman because right now I'd be saying, man, she spent $18 and got $1.2 million. She really understands value. There's an efficiency to her selections. Like,
you think Daryl Morey might want to marry her now?
I need to slide into her DMs and see if she can help me with the offseason.
You think Daryl Morey might marry her?
I don't think so. And I also saw that Zlatan over the weekend elbowed one of our players.
One of our players?
Yeah.
The Dynamo.
Oh, did we play them?
Yeah.
Oh,
I missed it.
Yeah, Zlatan. What? Yeah, he smashed 4 women while he was here.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he was here?
At halftime. Yeah.
He was here in our city?
Yeah. Where was Wendy?
Oh, my wife said she went to Louisiana for the weekend.
Oh, is that what she said? Okay.
Holy crap.
Okay. My wife, I made sure. I'm like, we're going out of town the Zlatan weekend. Why are we going to Belize this weekend?
Zlatan's
coming to town.
My wife said she was going to Louisiana this weekend.
Interesting. Is that what code is?
I hope not. I hope that's not code. No, I actually saw videos of her in Louisiana. So
is it old videos that she's had on her phone?
How do you know maybe it's current videos?
Well, because it was sent by my brother-in-law, not by her.
Well, so maybe he's in on it.
He might be.
Do you have a good relationship with him?
You think that Zlatan threatened his life?
I don't know that. I think he was just mesmerized by Zlatan and said, hey, Zlatan's better than Granato.
This guy looks like a Bond villain for sure.
Yeah. I just got to check with her, make sure. I'm going to check the mileage on her car.
Just double check it,
Check the mileage. Wait a minute. You only drove 4 miles. What the hell? Louisiana's further than that.
I Ubered. Hey, that would have been $1,300 Uber.
Hey, so you guys feel good about Kershaw being down? Corey Seager's down?
Love it.
Why
Kershaw on the DL.
Why do the Dodgers matter?
Because when we play them again in the World Series?
Yeah, we're looking ahead.
But so you think what's happening now is going to affect what happens in the World Series?
Yeah. Tucker's coming up.
I don't mind anybody else having injuries. I don't care.
I know. I'm not saying you should care, but what does the Dodgers being injured have anything to do with what the Astros are doing?
It helps when we play them and when we beat them in the World Series.
Think
again.
The Dodgers are happy that the Astros can't get anyone out when it matters?
Probably. You know, yes.
You think they're concerned
Dodgers,
with that?
No, Dodgers have problems of their own, okay?
Yeah, so
they
what
don't
I'm
need
saying.
Our problems.
They're not
too.
Concerned about
they
the
don't
Astros.
They have to be over here, no hit watching us.
Why would the Astros be with Clayton Kershaw DL watching when the Astros have their own problems?
Oh, yeah. We got plenty
well,
of
we
problems.
Assume our problems are getting fixed. We got Leno and.
Do we?
We got Leno and Hitch.
We're kind of slow to act that stuff, I think.
Okay, then you know what? Then give Daryl Morey the top spot.
Why? His team hasn't
won
anything.
Give Daryl Morey the top spot.
Let him win a championship first.
Give Daryl Morey the top spot.
What does Thunder 6 say?
It's a big surprise. He wants to include Daryl Morey. How about Daryl Morey's team win a championship first? Then we can talk about it.
How many winning seasons does Daryl have versus Jeff Leno?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. How many does he have?
A lot more.
Top spot. Number one. Number one.
I don't think that's how it works because Daryl Morey is how it's Ernie Grunfeld is Daryl Morey of the East.
No, that's the worst.
Go look at their teams in the playoffs until this year. We'll see what happens.
I forgot Daryl wasn't making those jumpers.
Okay, but it's still his team.
Well, then execute. Everyone likes to take players off the hook, like Stephen A. Smith. This all goes on Brian Brown. He's lost all three games. Brian Brown has done it. He's lost.
Well, he's calling him Brett. Stephen A. knows his name.
He didn't call him Brian. Yeah, Brett Brown.
Brian Brown's an actor.
Brett Brown looks like an actor, too, by the way.
He
plays like off parts in The Departed.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, were you a policeman in The Departed?
No.
Because you got that kind of Departed policeman look. And he actually looks like somebody from Nathan For You, the detective. Raheel will know about him from Boston. But anyway, so I hate when people always act like it's always like you absolve players from anything. Dude, players have to go play. Brown takes, obviously, if you lose a 19-point lead or you let something, and if you didn't call timeouts and things like that. So Stephen A. actually, I think, probably was right
he
on
had
a
some
lot
points.
Of that. I think he had some very good points, actually. But I always find it weak when people find ways to absolve players of any wrongdoing and say, it's the general manager's fault that they lost this series.
Well, if the general manager, though, that's different because if he picks crappy players.
But not if they win for 82 games. Like, I have a hard time. If you got a team, if you're a Knicks GM and you're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, but look at the difference between Brad Stevens and Brett Brown in crunch time.
Oh, it's obviously
they can make a huge difference
with
actually lesser talent. Now, that said, and we were talking about it beforehand, the top two guys on the Sixers are probably the top two guys in the series, but after that, it's Celtics.
Celtics have a way more talent on the roster than people give them credit
for. They're deeper.
But, you know, my whole point is that if your team plays well throughout the season and then they struggle in the postseason, that's not on a general manager. That's players and or coaching. It's always that. If they play well for 82 straight games, now, if you don't have good chemistry, if you got James and
Dwight
fighting and all that, then you have to understand, is the chemistry right? If you've got a three, you know, one thing that always bothered me is that Daryl Morey had, you're asking guys to shoot threes and you got Josh Smith, And Corey Brewer, like, these guys don't fit at all. Now, Chris Paul doesn't fit the 3-point. He can make threes, but Chris is an elite mid-range shooter who's also a ball handler who also – did you see him and James Harden get into it with the – I know you probably saw it, Dell. Did you see that with I'll pull it up. There's a video of it where one of them had his hand slapped away from the other one when they were trying to fist bump each other, and there was an argument going on. It was real competitive. I want to say it was game two, maybe. It really was game three? Wow, is the road game where that happened? I didn't think that's when it happened, but I guess so. I'll bring it up for you to see.
He slapped his hand?
See, Chris Paul is so hyper-competitive that he doesn't play.
No.
And you need that on this team, frankly.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I want to talk. Speaking of hyper-competitive, what about Chance McClain? I don't know.
How competitive is Chance?
I don't know. He's kind of laid back, isn't he?
Yeah.
He lives up in the forest or something now.
Some backwoods or whatever.
He eats off the land.
He lives off the land.
Yeah. But he actually now he lives off of yourheritagefilm.com. Go to the website, yourheritagefilm.com, and you'll see some awesomeness about families. And you're not going to watch somebody here. You're not going to want to watch a documentary about someone else's family, but you can check out snippets to see how he does it. It's like a 30 for 30, but it's about your family. And when you know, I don't know, do you have somebody older? They're not going to be around forever. Wouldn't you love to get them for posterity?
What if I told you grandma had 5 days to live?
Well, no, is that a 30 for 30?
That's not 30 for 30.
That's not exactly it. That's not how he would do it. He would do it more like, Graham, here's grandma telling you about how the family came over from wherever, okay? And that's really cool. And the history of the family. So, you know, while they're playing Fortnite, they can actually maybe listen to grandma and know who grandma was and actually care about that. And, you know, they'll have it forever. So everybody is having fun. I'm telling you, your kids, they may or may not get to know their grandparents. If they don't, this is a great way to keep grandma and grandpa or people that were important in the family in forever. And this is forever. They'll travel anywhere, Houston area, out of state. If you don't do this, you don't love anyone in your family. That's the deal. YourHeritageFilm.com, YourHeritageFilm.com. Go check it out. Tell Chance that you heard it right here. 713-249-2429, YourHeritageFilm.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You confess it, but it will not come. You can test it.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Your number to get in here. I think... I loved how the Rockets played with urgency, how they came out. And they just said, okay, that game two was so, I mean, yeah, that was a wake-up call. And this team said, oh, no, watch this. You know, everybody, now we got some doubters out there about where we are. Even Golden State had their hiccup in game three against the Pelicans. Now, they came back and slapped that ass yesterday, but... the Pelicans took care of business in game three and made them look bad. You know what? That might have been a little bit of a wake-up call for Golden State as well. Proud of the Rockets, though. You know, this was a situation where you're going into a hostile environment. It made sense that the Pelicans won a game in New Orleans. That made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the Rockets to go in there and just totally take out that team, that's a good team at home. It's a good home team and a tough place to play with all those white people. It was, those were two.
Look, I know what the Rockets are going through, being surrounded by all those white people. You know how difficult it is to perform?
Yeah.
Credit to them for getting it done.
To have to deal with all those, all those white people when you're trying to perform all
You're
those
trying them? To perform, all these white people are screaming at you, asking you to do stuff.
Right.
Credit to the Rockets for getting it done.
So you can relate.
I can relate.
Yeah.
Scream at you, trying to get you to do stuff.
Right. No, that was a gut check. And the Rockets stepped up much like our Astros last year. I'm telling you.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Rockets have not backslid offensively. I mean, look, they're not playing peak basketball right now. But I will say that those two wins, the one thing that has been a constant with this team is they are a good road team. To be a good road team, and Rockets teams have won championships in the past, could win on the road, it takes mental toughness, it takes defense, and it takes it takes clutch shots. You don't have to be great. Now, the Rockets, in both their road wins, I guess it is worth noting, they got huge leads, and they were able to coast and then hang on at different stages. Not exactly hang on at game three. But they had a big lead in game four, too.
Hey, the other guys get paid too, Lance.
Yeah, I'm just saying it is a little tougher to go with the where it swings from 5 points to 5 points either way, and you have the lead changes and all that. Those are hard. Those are really hard ones to win, but they are built to win those this year. I mean, they're built to win it.
I wonder if they withstand when they have lapses against Golden State, because there will be lapses. Oh, that's not exactly lapses. Those guys are really good offensively, so they're going to put up points, and they're going to be really good. But just get through this. And, oh, by the way, don't have another hiccup in game five. Come back here, slap that ass, get this over with, and let's go. Let's go on to Golden State, where we knew this is where we were going to be from maybe the opening tip of the season. That this was when the Rockets went into Golden State and won game one on the opening night of the NBA season, this is where this season was supposed to get to. And now you're one step away from it. And you got three chances. Obviously, this series is over. But it would be nice to. Now, they're not going to be able to start this thing, right? They've got all of these games scheduled, all mapped out already. So they're going to sit for a while. Good or bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a team. Well, both teams really depend on outside shooting. They really do. So I wonder if they're sitting for 6-5 days.
Well, have the Rockets played so well offensively that you think it matters? I mean, it's not like they've been a great offensive team throughout these playoffs.
No.
So, I mean,
but you would like them to be worse.
You don't want to get worse game one with Golden State coming in. But it's not as if the Rockets have been efficient. Like Lance has said, their defense has carried them. And I don't know if their defense will be good enough against a team that isn't as offensively limited as their first two opponents. The offense has to pick up, but I don't know if it matters until they're. Because they haven't proven they can stay in any type of rhythm. They haven't been. Have they put four? I mean, game three was nice. But have they put four quarters together that you were like, wow, they're really going?
Nope. They put that third quarter together.
Against Minnesota.
Quarter one. They put the first half in game three against Utah. That was just a kick ass.
Yeah. Yesterday, they scored 22 and 21.
But holding them to 87?
They're off. Their defense, like Lance said, has been carrying them. But even yesterday, they got out early, and they've done a good job of scoring in spurts early in quarters. And then Utah has to spend the entire quarter trying to fight back to make it a game. But even yesterday, 21 and 21 in the second half, as far as their quarter distribution and points. I mean, I don't know how much rest is going to matter. It looks like they're going to have to lean on their defense.
Yeah, but that's what you have to do late. I mean, that's not unusual. Most of the NBA championships, a good percentage of them, have come because teams, and including Golden State, who could defend, you have to be able to defend in the postseason. The possessions get a little tighter. The intensity level ratchets up, and you can't just rely on offense. And they've been so offense-reliant, so James Harden-reliant. And if the offense sputters, or if James sputters, which was one and the same usually, then you couldn't possibly win a series. Now, Chris Paul's changed some of that reliance upon one guy, and they've got a better rotation of players with better chemistry, and you can actually win games shooting 26% from the field. It's not that uncommon for them. I mean, it's not like they're lighting it up from three. It was good to see Eric Gordon show up the other day, but he fell back to 1-6 yesterday. You know, James didn't shoot it well yesterday.
No. What? James was... No. Not well. He didn't shoot it. Well, he shot it crappily.
And he coupled it with eight turnovers.
Is crappily a word?
Maybe. 8 for 22, 24 points, 1-7 from 3, and a smooth 8 turnovers.
Yeah,
James yesterday.
James was a little loose with the basketball again. There is a trend going on in hockey right now that really is disturbing.
It's one guy.
Yeah, Brad Marchand keeps licking the other team.
Yeah, this happened three times.
Man, dude, stop
it. I can't watch hockey now. That's just not acceptable. That's stopping you from watching hockey. This was going to be my year.
Who's your team? Who would have been your team?
LeBron's team?
He doesn't
play
hockey.
Whoever LeBron plays for.
He doesn't play in the NHL.
Who's the LeBron of hockey now? So, Sidney Crosby?
Maybe. Who was in the finals? Maybe? Who was in the NHL finals? The Stanley Cup finals?
Penguins versus Preds.
Oh, nice.
Look at you.
Was it Penguins?
Yeah.
They've won two in a row.
I know Preds because the Titans offensive linemen were pouring beer all over themselves and drinking beer off of a fish.
That was,
so I knew about Preds.
Yeah.
In the last series. Last, is it over now?
What's well, the
no, long it's
not over.
What's going on, right?
What's the long version of Preds?
Predators.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, look at him.
Okay. I would have given money that he didn't know either of those.
How could he not know the long version of Preds?
No, what could it possibly be?
8:59 ESPN. We're going to bring in 94.1 when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. But we're talking about right now our friends over at the Indoor Comfort Specialist. That's our peeps. Oh, and Raheel's going to come in too, by the way. By the way, not only 94.1. Really? A little something? Huh?
Oh, so it got a little warm in Belize. Well, I say warm, it's like 89 degrees. But when it hasn't been... That's when I realized, and it was humid. I was like, oh, that's right. Summer's coming. When I got inside the AC of my place, I just remembered, you got to have AC in this kind of you can't have your AC not work properly. Even if it works halfway strength, here's what happens. You get halfway cool, and you get double charged for your bills because the AC has to run all the time to try to work, but it's not even working properly. Why would you just not get it fixed or get a new one?
Yeah, so get... Okay, and oh, by the way, now's the time to buy a new one. They've got last year's models, and you have got to do it now. Don't wait until the summer. And oh, by the way, 90 degrees all week long this week. Anybody hear that? 90 degrees all this week. So is your air conditioner working well? Let the Indoor Comfort Specialist come right now and do the 22-point check for just $49. $49 to come to your home. You can't get a pizza delivery guy to come for $49. So if you're looking for a great deal right now, 713-666-1101, 713-666-1101 or 975AC.com.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.